Okay, so have you ever felt like, just overwhelmed with stuff to do? Like, where do you even begin?
Oh, absolutely. That feeling of having a million things on your plate and not knowing where to start, it's something we all struggle with, I think.
Right. It's like, it's like you're juggling flaming chainsaws
Yeah.
while riding a unicycle on a tightrope.
Wow, that's a pretty vivid
Yeah,
image.
that's kind of how my to-do list feels sometimes.
I get it.
But the good news is we're diving deep into this topic today. The art of prioritization.
Exactly. We're going to give you some tools and strategies to, to really take control.
Yeah. And we're using this awesome article. It's called The Art of Prioritization: How to Choose the Right Projects to Focus On.
Really practical stuff.
Because honestly, let's be real, trying to do everything at once, it's a recipe for burnout, not success.
Absolutely. It's about making those choices that really make a difference. It's not about just squeezing more into your day. It's about making sure, all your effort lines up with, where you want to go, what you want to achieve.
Yeah, and this article, it really emphasizes this idea of clarity. So before you even think about picking a project, can you help me out here? What does that actually, mean in terms of prioritization?
Right. It's about, getting really clear on your goals. Like, what are you actually trying to achieve? And defining what success looks like.
Right.
It's like, setting your GPS destination before you hit the gas. Without that clear target, you're just driving in circles.
Right. It's like you don't start a road trip without knowing where you're going.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's say my big picture goal is to launch a new product line by next year. What would defining success look like in that scenario? Like, is it just about getting the product out there, or is there more to it?
Yeah, I mean, getting the product out there is important, but there's definitely more. You need to dig a little deeper. Like, what are your revenue targets for this product line? What kind of market share are you hoping to get? How will you know if your customers are happy?
Oh boy.
Defining those metrics, it helps you see if a project is really moving you towards your goals.
Okay. So it's not just about like checking a box and saying, okay, I launched a product. It's about like really figuring out what success looks like.
Right. Having those specific
And
measures.
this all ties into how we actually choose between all those like shiny projects
Yeah.
that are all competing for our attention.
Yeah, exactly. That's where these, prioritization frameworks come in. They give you a kind of a structured way to evaluate potential projects and pick the ones that, best fit with your goals.
Okay.
And the article mentions several frameworks.
Yeah.
Each one has its own, approach. Which one kind of caught your eye?
Well, the Eisenhower matrix, that really caught my attention. It's that whole urgent versus important thing, right?
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty quick and easy way to make decisions.
Yeah.
But is it really nuanced enough to handle those like more complex projects?
Yeah, it can be. As long as you use it strategically, remember those success metrics that we talked about?
Huh.
Those are key to figuring out if a project is really important and that urgent category. Well, sometimes what feels urgent is it's really just someone else's priority, not yours.
Okay, so it's not just about reacting to, whatever's screaming the loudest.
Right.
It's about stepping back and thinking about, does this really align with what I'm trying to do?
Exactly.
Okay. So give me an example.
Let's say you get an urgent request to review a colleague's presentation. Seems important,
Yeah,
right?
feels important.
But is it really important, in the grand scheme of things? Or is it taking you away from something that's more aligned with your goals? That's the kind of thing the Eisenhower matrix can help you figure out.
Okay. So it's like it's forcing you to actually think about those things
Right.
and not just be, reactive.
Right.
But I'm also wondering, are there times when, sticking too rigidly to a framework like this could actually like backfire? Like, what if, I'm so focused on the matrix that I miss out on some like, spontaneous opportunity that could be, game changing?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, frameworks are tools. They're not straitjackets. You always have to be ready to adapt and consider things that might not fit neatly into a grid. The article really stresses that staying flexible and using your judgment is important.
Okay. So it's about finding that balance between structure and flexibility.
Right.
Use the framework as a guide,
Yeah.
but don't let it, dictate every decision. Okay. Now, the article also mentioned this, the weighted scoring method.
Yeah.
This one seems a little more analytical, but it could be helpful, especially when you have those really complex projects with a lot of moving parts.
Right. If you've got a lot of variables you need to consider.
Yeah. Have you ever used a system like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. It's really about assigning scores to different criteria based on how important they are.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say your main goal is to, you know, boost revenue. You might give a higher score to a project that has a high potential ROI.
Hmm.
But if building your brand is, you know, really crucial, you might prioritize a project that will get a lot of media attention, even if it might not bring in as much money right away.
Okay. Okay. So it's kind of like, it's like building your own like custom scoring system.
Right.
That reflects your like unique priorities.
Exactly. And this method can be super powerful when you need to make those decisions that are, you know, objective.
Yeah.
And you need to explain your reasoning to other people. Just imagine presenting a project and you can show everyone a clear system that demonstrates why this project is the best option.
Okay. Yeah.
It takes the guesswork out.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like taking the emotion out of it and just, okay, here are the numbers.
Right. It provides that logical framework.
Right. But I also, before we get like too deep into spreadsheets and stuff,
yeah,
I'm also curious about this whole idea of risk versus reward.
Mm-hmm.
Can you know, break that down a little bit?
Of course. The article emphasizes that every project has its upsides and downsides,
yeah,
right? And you need to weigh those carefully before you jump in.
It's almost like doing a cost-benefit analysis, but for time and energy.
Exactly.
Instead of just money.
It's not just about the financial stuff. No. What about your reputation? What could happen if the project's delayed or if it doesn't meet its goals?
Oh, yeah.
Are there things you're missing out on by focusing on this one thing?
Okay, yeah.
You need to consider those opportunity costs.
It's so easy to get like caught up in the excitement of a new idea.
Right.
And not think about those downsides. So can you give me a real world example of how this plays out, this risk benefit analysis?
Sure. Imagine you're leading a software development team.
Okay.
And you're deciding between two features to prioritize.
Okay.
One feature, it could generate a lot of buzz, attract new users.
Oh, wow.
But it's complex. It might take months to develop.
Okay.
The other feature, it's simpler. It addresses a key problem for your existing users.
Right.
But it's not as, you know, flashy or innovative.
Okay.
So you see the dilemma.
Yeah. You've got, you know, the potential for really fast growth.
Yeah.
But it's also riskier.
Exactly. So a risk-benefit analysis, you would look at, you know, how long will it take to develop? What about bugs? Will it overload your team?
Okay.
It might turn out that the simpler feature is actually the better choice.
Okay.
At least for now. It lets you give value to your current customers while you're, you know, working on that more ambitious feature on the side.
So it's not always about choosing the most exciting option.
Right.
It's about making a strategic decision that balances risk and reward.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes that less flashy project is the one that really sets you up for success down the road.
I like that. It's like, you know, you got to build that strong foundation,
yeah,
before you start adding all the bells and whistles.
Exactly. You can't build a skyscraper on shaky ground.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of building things together, the article, it talks about this idea of getting buy-in from everyone involved, you know, your stakeholders, your team. Mm. It's not a solo mission, is it?
No, definitely not. Especially in a work environment, you know, you've got to make sure that your priorities are aligned with the overall goals of the team or right, the organization.
Right. So how do we actually like do that? Is it just a matter of, you know, sending out an email with a list of projects and saying, okay, here are the priorities, go?
Well, communication is super important, but it's more than just, you know, sending a memo. It's about really involving those stakeholders in the process, getting their input, you know, listening to their concerns, because, you know, prioritization, it often means making tough choices.
Right.
And those choices, they might affect different teams in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So walk me through a specific scenario where this alignment process will be really important.
Sure. Let's say you're heading up the marketing team and you've decided to prioritize a big social media campaign,
okay,
over a website redesign.
Cool.
Now, the web dev team, they might have been really excited about that redesign.
Wow.
And they might even have some good reasons for why it should come first.
Right. And if they feel like their voices weren't heard, that could lead to, like, you know, friction and resentment later on.
Exactly. So So by involving them early on, explaining why you made the decision, and maybe even finding ways to incorporate some of their ideas into the social media campaign, you can create a sense of ownership,
mm-hmm.
and reduce the chances of conflict.
It's almost like you're creating that roadmap together instead of just, you know, handing down orders.
Exactly. And that shared understanding is so important for smooth execution. The article also talks about being transparent about how you made those decisions, you know, the criteria you use. Transparency builds trust.
So not enough to just say, this is the priority.
Right.
You have to explain the why behind the what.
Exactly. It's like showing your work on a math problem. When people understand your logic, the data you're using, they're more likely to be on board.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I'm getting a much clearer picture of this whole collaboration aspect.
Yeah.
But the article also mentions this idea of staying agile. Can you explain what that means in the context of prioritization?
Sure. It means recognizing that priorities, they're not set in stone.
Mm.
You know, things change. New information comes up. Goals evolve.
Mm.
Staying agile means adapting to those shifts and being willing to adjust your priorities.
So it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing.
No, not at all. It's more like navigating a winding river.
Okay.
You know, you have to constantly adjust your course, make little corrections, and sometimes you even have to paddle really hard to avoid obstacles.
That's a great analogy. So, but how do we actually like do that? Are we talking about like daily check-ins with our to-do list? Yeah. Weekly check-ins?
It really depends on what kind of work you do and how quickly things are changing in your industry. But the key is to have regular reviews and feedback loops.
Yeah.
You know, ask yourself, are my priorities still in line with my goals? Are there any new opportunities or challenges that I need to address?
And it's not just about, you know, looking inward, right? It's also about getting feedback from other people.
Absolutely. Your team, your stakeholders, even your customers, they can all provide valuable insights that might lead you to rethink your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a project that seemed really important a month ago, it's not so relevant anymore. Or maybe there's a new initiative that deserves your attention.
So staying agile is about being open to new information.
Yes.
And being willing to change course.
Yeah.
Even if it means, you know, giving up on a project that you've already put a lot of time and energy into.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes knowing when to let go is just as important as knowing when to keep pushing forward.
The article had this really interesting example. They talked about a tech startup that was really focused on getting new users.
Mm-hmm.
But then their data showed that a lot of those users were leaving.
Right.
So they realized that keeping their existing customers happy was actually more important for their long-term success.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of how feedback can lead to a shift in priorities. And that agility, that's what allowed them to adapt and build a sustainable business.
So it's like those companies that are really good at prioritization,
yeah,
they've almost got this sixth sense.
Yeah.
You know, they can see changes coming, they can spot opportunities,
yeah,
and they can make those adjustments before it's too late.
That's a great way to put it. And while some people might be, you know, naturally good at this, it's also a skill that you can develop through practice and by having the right mindset.
Okay, speaking of companies that are really good at this,
yeah,
I'm curious about the example of Amazon that the article talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They're known for being really customer focused.
Mm.
So how does that actually play out in their prioritization strategy?
Mm. Well, Amazon is a great example of a company that really puts the customer first. You know, with every decision, they're asking, how will this make things better for the customer?
Right.
And if a project doesn't have a clear answer to that question, it's probably going to get pushed down the list or even canceled altogether.
So it's not just about, you know, having good products or low prices.
Right.
It's about creating that whole experience.
Exactly.
For the customer.
That's what they're known for.
And that's reflected in all the things they do, like, you know, prime delivery, personalized recommendations, even things like one-click ordering.
Yeah, all those little details.
Yeah, it might not, you know, make them a ton of money right away, but it creates that sense of convenience and satisfaction that keeps people coming back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that long-term customer loyalty, that's what really drives their growth and profitability.
It's almost like they've mastered the art of delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're willing to invest in things that might not pay off immediately, but that will ultimately deliver more value in the long run.
That's a great point. And it's a key part of their approach. They're not just looking for quick wins.
Okay.
They're building a sustainable system that's all about building those long-term relationships with their customers.
That's a really powerful lesson for any business.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, the big takeaway here is that prioritization. It's not just about, you know, getting things done. It's about making those choices that really matter and understanding why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it's about making sure your actions, they line up with, you know, with your values and your goals. And that's true whether you're, you know, a big company or just someone trying to manage their day-to-day life.
And the article also mentioned this idea that different organizations, they kind of have different approaches to prioritization. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. But some companies, especially, you know, the bigger ones, they're very data driven. You know, they rely on metrics and analytics to make their decisions. Think like, you know, financial projections, market research, A/B testing, all that stuff.
So it's all about, you know, crunching the numbers and figuring out which projects will give them the biggest bang for their buck.
Yeah, they're looking for the most efficient way to reach their goals. And data is a huge part of that. But the article also pointed out that not all organizations prioritize in the same way. Some companies, they take a more, you know, intuitive approach.
Okay, what does that look like? Are we talking about, like, relying on gut feelings instead of spreadsheets?
Well, it's not necessarily about ignoring the data altogether. It's more about recognizing that sometimes the best insights, they come from experience, intuition, and a deep understanding of the market or your customer.
So it's like a blend of art and science.
Right, exactly. Like a seasoned entrepreneur, for example. Mm-hmm. They might have a knack for spotting trends or understanding what customers need in a way that you can't really capture in a spreadsheet.
Right.
And they might use that intuition to guide their decisions, if the numbers don't tell the whole story.
Yeah, it's like those times when you have a hunch about something and it turns out to be right.
Yeah.
Even though you can't really explain why.
Exactly. Sometimes those gut feelings, they're based on years of experience and knowledge, even if we can't, you know, put them into words or formulas. And the article really stressed that there's no one right way to prioritize. The best approach, it depends on the company's culture, the industry they're in, even the personalities of the people involved.
Yeah, that makes sense. A fast-moving startup, they might need to be more agile, more intuitive. And a big corporation, they might benefit from a more, you know, structured, data-driven process.
Exactly. The key is to find what works for you, for your situation. And don't be afraid to experiment. You know, maybe you start with a very analytical approach and then you realize that you need to bring in more intuition and flexibility. Or maybe you start with a gut feeling method and then you discover the value of using data to make decisions.
It's all about, you know, learning and adapting as you go. Mm. Wow, I have to say, this deep dive has really given me a lot to think about. You know, prioritization, it's not just about managing my time. It's about making choices that reflect what's important to me and that move me closer to where I want to be.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, the key takeaways are define your goals, try out different frameworks, analyze the risks and rewards, get everyone on board, stay flexible, and review your priorities regularly. But most importantly, find what works best for you.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for joining me on this exploration of prioritization.
You know, it was my pleasure. It's always great to dig into these topics.
And to all our listeners, we hope you found this deep dive helpful and insightful. Remember, by prioritizing wisely, you're not just managing your time, you're shaping your future. Until next time, keep exploring and keep learning.